everybody, and welcome into episode number 396 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
Well, we are going to have another great show today because we have interesting facts. We have people guessing to those interesting facts, and you're playing along at home and then taking what you learn and talking about it in your virtual water cooler.
You can do this exact same thing with your friends.
Yeah. Ooh, Michael, there's an app for you, a virtual water cooler.
That has to exist. Someone has a, what would that even be?
I'm pretty sure it's just a webcam that you invite to your Zoom that's just pointed at a water cooler.
All right. So that's like the virtual Yule log. Right. Like you turn the TV on at Christmas and you have just the Yule log burning on the TV. I get it.
Exactly.
The thought of people being able to just like walk up behind my desk anymore without me having the option to decline call is a positive of COVID. Like that's something that I appreciate of like, well, I can't take this call right now, so see ya. Whereas if you're in the office and somebody pops in,
Yeah, I mean, there's positives and negatives about all of this. I like the idea of working from home. The downside is, you know, I have to live here too, and my roommates are the worst. They are the worst anybody has ever had in a roommate. They're terrible.
Oh, yeah. Your beautiful wife and your beautiful kids and your cats. Ugh, you got it so tough with your multiple bathrooms, okay? I'm working on one toilet here, okay? One toilet. And, you know, it's just, it's a long time to just share one toilet, okay? Honestly, you know, it didn't used to be a thing, but now it's like, we just, why are our poop schedules on the same schedule? Also, gentlemen listening, yes, women poop. It's okay. Did I have two glasses of wine before this episode? I did. Yes, I understand it's not the drunk podcast. Do I care? Absolutely not. So here's your interesting fact. Women poop, and it would be great to have a second bathroom. That's my bougie dream. Nick, you have a very long fact.
I do.
So why don't you start the show?
Oh, see, I thought you were just going to say, this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. We're out.
Lindsay, out. Mic drop.
Yeah. Well, I, you know what? If you want, I can go first with my interesting fact.
It's entirely up to you. I'm happy doing anything.
No, you know what? I will do an additional fact. And I'm going to segue from it, okay?
Go.
She's going to set up her own segue. I love it.
Yeah, so when you're talking about...
brand Lindsay.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about poop, all right, another word for poop would be icebergs, right? The floating poop turds are very, you know, iceberg-esque in the sense that icebergs float in water.
Okay.
And when you think about it, icebergs are just giant frozen turds in the ocean of life.
Okay.
And my fact today is about an iceberg. Specifically,
oh, thank God it's about an iceberg. Because if it was about something like my fact today is about post-World War II Germany.
Yeah. No, it is very specifically about in relation, correlated to an iceberg. And so the iceberg that you guys probably know about is the one that sunk the Titanic. So
yeah, Bob.
Big old ship. Hit a frozen rock or a frozen turd, however you want to describe it, sank the Titanic. So I was thinking about it. And, you know, obviously hitting anything solid like that is going to cause some damage, especially, you know, you're in the middle of the night, specifically 11:40 p.m. on the evening of April 14th, 1912. And I was curious as to how fast the Titanic was going when it struck that iceberg. So that is my question to you guys.
So I know that they were attempting to beat the transatlantic record. So that's one of the reasons why they hit the iceberg was because they were going like a bat out of hell. They were going top speed. Now the question is, what is top speed for the world's largest ocean liner in 1912?
Yes, exactly. If you knew that answer, you would know this fact.
Is it like 12? Michael, you're a Navy brat, right?
I have been called worse.
Yeah. That's what does a current ship run at? What does a current aircraft carrier move at? How many knots?
Well, aircraft carrier is probably a little different than
right, you turn it on like Tuesday and it starts turning on Friday.
Right. But aircraft carriers, as I understand probably go just a little bit faster out of necessity. Nobody needs to get to Cancun. Everybody just wants to go to Cancun.
Okay.
Aircraft carriers need to go where they're going.
Okay.
As to how fast they are.
For the record, I will accept knots or miles per hour. So you have two options.
I can't do that conversion. I'm going with knots.
I want to say these days, like current days, the average speed, at least from what I remember from back when the cruise industry was a thing.
In the before times.
In the before times, right. Was like 20 knots, give or take. Like 20, if you were above 20, you were probably moving at a pretty healthy clip.
Okay, yeah, that's what I want to say. I wanted to say it was like 22. I want to say the number 22 is stuck in my head for a reason on that. Like something in the movie where it's like we're doing 20 knots. It's like, come on, man, we can do better than that. Like, let's get it up to 22. Kind of thing. That's the number that sticks in my head.
Just from a technology timeline, like the average speed of ships now would be the top end speed of the cruise liner then, 100 years ago.
Right. So that's one of those, like, I mean, how much bigger is an aircraft carrier than a modern cruise ship? Like, the modern cruise ships are bigger than the aircraft carriers, aren't they?
I mean,
maybe not by a lot, but.
I know the modern cruise ships are definitely far larger than the Titanic. One of the things that I remember pretty specifically was when we did do our cruises with the family out of California, we left out of Long Beach and the Queen Mary's docked there.
Right.
So seeing the size of that ship versus the size of the ships that are
the current ships,
pulling behind it.
Although they just sold off all the cruise ships and they all got chopped up for pieces, didn't they?
I saw that a lot of ships are just kind of getting cut up right now.
Yeah.
I think 100 years of technology, though, I don't think the Titanic would have gotten all the way up to 20. So I'm gonna say like 18 knots by the time it hit the iceberg. Okay,
so we're essentially there. You're just reverse prices writing yourself by giving yourself the smallest margin under where I went.
Sure, if that's what you need
knot,
to believe.
One knot is.
If that's what you need to believe, Nick, then I'm happy to go with it.
For the record, a bonus fun fact. So a knot is equal to approximately 1.15 miles per hour. So they're roughly comparable. So Michael, you said 18 knots.
Yeah.
And that is how many miles per hour? That is 20.7 miles per hour. Nick, what are you saying?
22 knots.
22 knots, which I will do a quick calculation here. So 22 knots is 25 miles per hour. Both of you guys were right in that range. So the Titanic struck the iceberg at a speed of 20.5 knots, aka 23.6 miles per hour. So 23.6 miles per hour struck the iceberg. Obviously, a lot of bad things happened after that. It only took the ship like an hour to 2 hours ish, roughly, to sink. Which is a very quick amount of time, unless you're James Cameron in 1997, then it takes a long time.
45 minutes to an hour, yeah.
Yeah, and then a bonus fact, which I would say it is a fun fact, but it's not really a fun fact, because obviously this was a big tragedy. But the degrees of the water was 28 degrees Fahrenheit, so below freezing, 28 degrees. And so they saw they were getting iceberg warnings, you know, and that's part of the whole myth of the Titanic. They're hubris. They're getting 6-7 plus iceberg warnings as they're going in ice water. They actually saw the iceberg that hit them, and they only had 30 to 37 seconds, depending on which source you ask, until they hit it. So only very short amount of time.
It's an important distinction. Those extra 7 seconds.
It's not when you're not ship of that size trying to stop.
Yeah, they tried, but when you're going 23.6 miles per hour, you know, you can only move so much.
So I don't have a transition from that, but I do have just the greatest throwback to last week's episode. Okay.
Oh, go on.
So the ship that picked up the survivors of the Titanic was the Carpathia.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Which is also the country that the bad guy from Ghostbusters 2 was from. He was Vigo the Carpathian. So that's two Carpathia references in two episodes. Can we make it three next week? Michael, it's up to you.
All right. I will take on that challenge.
All right, Nick, let's hear your fact now.
All right. So speaking of the difference between 30 seconds and 37 seconds, that's 7 seconds. That's mm-hmm. that's a number. Seven is a number.
Yeah, seven things is the greatest Miley Cyrus song.
You know what? Forget I said any of that. Okay, let's just pretend for a second that Lindsay just finished her fact, and now I can come in and I go, well, you know what the survivors of the Titanic were doing after the boat sank? They were swimming.
They were swimming.
And the water that they were in was very, very cold. Okay.
28 degrees, I believe Lindsay said.
Yeah. So there is a person. It's in Torrens, Austria, okay, where beer lovers can go swimming in beer. They fill up what is, they call it a swimming pool, but it's essentially a large hot tub with a beer water mix. And you can go, Michael's looking for notes and currently looking for
I need to add to my bucket list.
So you get to go swimming in essentially a hot tub full of beer. So as I was reading this article, I thought to myself, well, that's kind of BS. Like a beer water hybrid, like and like a hot tub sized swimming pool. No. Give me a normal sized swimming pool and fill it with straight beer, just fully beer. Okay.
Okay.
So my question to you is, how much would it cost on average to fill your standard size swimming pool with beer? And when you're done with that, I also have the calculations for Trader Joe's 2-buck chuck, a bottle of Jack Daniels, a middling Veuve Chiquot champagne, or White Claw.
Important, very important.
Right, so Michael, we could do math to solve this, right? This is what middle school taught us, right? We need to figure out the, you know, volume of the pool or the liquid volume of the pool, and then we need to translate that into a case of beer and figure out what that dollar amount is. So we could do this math.
We can. I believe us.
I was going to say, or we could blindly guess.
I would like to do the math.
All right, well then you're gonna kick us off then with the math, my friend.
All right, well look, go ahead and take your blind guess because I'm still looking for a pen.
Okay, so I would want to know, Michael, from you. I would think that we wouldn't need to know how many gallons are in a regular size pool, right? Like, because I'm sorry, the gallons are what my brain is immediately going to, right?
Gallons is how I figured it out.
Okay, so how many gallons are in the average size pool? I don't know. 10,000? 15,000? Is that close, Nick?
No.
So, okay, so no. here's how I would
guess. Is this an Olympic size pool or like an in-ground pool?
It's like an Olympic size pool.
Oh, okay. So an Olympic size pool, then I have no idea, because I know above ground pools are like 15,000, I think. For some reason, I know that. No.
So here's what I know about Olympic size pools. An Olympic-sized pool is 50 meters long.
Yes. Would you like me to just tell you the number of gallons in the standard size pool that I came
up with? I just Googled above ground swimming pool water volumes by size, and a 15 foot round above ground pool is 5,000 gallons.
That's an above ground pool.
Yeah.
Not a standard in ground pool.
They are different places in the ground. So.
Yes. One would be above it. So
Nick, go ahead and give us the gallons.
The standard pool that I had was 660,430 gallons.
660,430.
Yes.
That's gallons. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we are doing this by liters of beer?
You can do that calculation in any way that you want.
Well, what's the answer that you're looking for?
Dollars.
Dollars of?
To fill the pool.
With beer.
Is this U.S. dollars, and is this adjusted for inflation?
It is U.S. dollars, and it is based on current inflation rates.
Okay.
Yeah. Beer, Trader Joe's 2-buck chuck, Jack Daniels, the $150 per bottle champagne, and White Claw.
All right. Well, the $150 per bottle is going to be really easy to figure out. Easy.
Okay. Okay. So what's that?
Because a champagne bottle, I believe, is the same as a wine bottle, which is 750 milliliters, which is 0.75 liters.
Uh-huh.
Now, my question is, and I apologize to every science and math teacher I've ever had through high school, is it how many liters to the gallon?
The liters,
Lindsay, you gotta help. You gotta meet me a little halfway here.
It's essentially four. For lack of a better term, let's go with four. 4 liters a gallon. Okay.
1 liter equals 0.264 liquid gallons.
Yeah.
So 1 liter equals a quarter liquid gallon. So, yeah.
Okay. So it's 4 liters to the gallon.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You are correct. Roughly. Approximately. It's not a knots to miles per hour conversion, but it's close.
All right, so what do you got?
He's looking at a White Claw right now.
He literally has a White Claw can in his hand, and he's looking at the number of ounces in the White Claw.
And I'm not even ashamed of it.
And you know what's really funny is that he's going to put that down, and he's going to go, okay, my next question is...
Hold it back up again. Just to make sure that you really saw that number.
Yeah. Oh, no, I saw it. 12 fluid ounces means 355 milliliters. That's the number that I needed to know.
Uh-huh.
355. I'm not going to do this much math. I don't care. I'm already halfway through this White Claw.
All right. So what's your guess? I will take any or all beer. Of the... you want beer? Okay.
Oh, hang on. I'll take the champagne.
I'm going to take beer, and I'm going to say $100,000.
$100,000. Okay. Yeah, I was... Lindsay, you don't want to take the White Claw?
I don't. White Claw I enjoy, but it's not my seltzer of choice. Unless they want to sponsor this podcast, then I will fully endorse White Claw. But if I had to choose...
Truly person, because I thought we got along.
No, you know, I like Truly, but honestly, I've been on a big Vizzy kick. I'm a big fan of Vizzy.
I've never had that,
actually.
It's good. They got blueberry pomegranate. They got mango pineapple. I'm a big sweet tooth gal, so that's my go-to. But anyway, Michael, we digress.
Your beer number?
I'm doing the champagne.
Oh, okay. Lindsay, I would have thought you would have picked the Trader Joe's $2 chuck.
You know,
that's where I thought you would.
Well, here's the problem. $2 chuck is no longer $2.
I've been to a few Trader Joe's in my life, but I get stressed out because I don't know what the labels are. And I don't know what I'm buying. And that makes me nervous.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I always go and I just fill up the cart. I walk down the aisles with my hand brushing all the bottles into the car.
Just can't get in here.
Okay. Yeah. And that's at $60. 60 bottles. Yep. $120. Here you go. I'm out.
All right. Here's what I got.
Yeah.
In the champagne, which you said was $150 a bottle.
Correct.
396,258,000 is what I got.
396,256,000.
Yep. Well, let's call it 396 just to make the numbers nice. 396 million.
You're even using a pencil, nerd.
All right. So
I couldn't find a pen.
Lindsay says $100,000 worth of beer. Michael says $356 million worth of champagne. $396 million of champagne.
Yes.
I'm going to give this one to Lindsay because she is closest without going over. However, she is not close. So the beer, the way I figured it was 15 and a half gallons a keg, give or take.
I would have gone case, but okay.
And a keg at about $175 per. Well, see, Michael, you do it by the keg. It's cheaper than by the case.
Fair point.
Right. So.
Yeah, but you have to have friends to drink out of a keg, Nick.
Well,
or a very big belief in yourself.
Yeah. We are filling a pool with it. So 42,600 kegs, which would be $7.456 million.
Whoa.
So $7.5 million worth of beer. The Trader Joe's wine is 3.3 million bottles or $6.63 million.
Okay.
So actually cheaper to do it with Trader Joe's wine than it is with beer. The Jack. The Jack is 225 liters per barrel, which they will let you buy. I looked
for a couple
up.
Thousand. I asked about it when I went to the Jack Daniels distillery.
On average, it's about $13,000 per barrel, and you would need 11,111 barrels to fill the pool. which comes up to $133,333,333.33.
Now, what happens if you like your Jack Daniels with a splash of water?
No. Your champagne at $150 a bottle, you need 1.66 million bottles, which would be $250 million. So, Michael, you were off by about $150 million. You were a little high on
that.
We
don't do the math.
Yeah. And then the most fun one, the White Claw. It is 7,044,586 cans of White Claw, which shockingly enough, cans of White Claw are a dollar a can. So it's $7,044,586. So there you go. If you have a couple of $1 million or a quarter of $1 billion, go swimming in a pool. Also, don't go swimming in a pool full of alcohol. Simply being in the same vicinity of a pool full of champagne or whiskey will make you die from alcohol poisoning simply by absorbing the vapor through your skin.
Really?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Do not.
Especially
do that.
The Jack.
Yeah. Just the vapor absorption through your skin will kill you, and it will do so quickly.
So I didn't know that it would kill you. I didn't know that it would kill you so quickly.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it would kill you so quickly. I'm glad that we didn't put any alcohol in the Jello that we wrestled in college. Glad that
you probably would have been fine there. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of gallons of Michael, you had a follow-up question. You have your hand.
I just have questions for after we're not recording anymore.
All right. Well, Michael, it is your turn to segue from Nick's pool alcohol fun time
I think I can get there.
All right, let's hear it. I mean, it cannot be as bad as my toilet to Titanic, so you know.
So as a lot of people know, the one way that a lot of alcohol, especially whiskey, was tested, and rum also, was what was called proof. And the idea of proofing a liquor actually originated with the Navy.
Okay.
And speaking of the Navy, the Marines, they're close. Yeah, I know there's some Marines here that are listening, and they're going to be unhappy about that. Oh, no, I take that back. I think they have recently officially split off from the Navy. So, the Marines.
Uh-huh.
And one of our, I think maybe a little bit more Nick than me and Lindsay, but one of those childhood characters that is near and dear to your heart, Lamb Chop.
How old do you think I am?
At least 10 years older than me. I just don't have a gauge for what that actually means.
Uh-huh.
So, Lamb Chop.
By the way, how old do you think I am? That's our secret phrase.
Okay. How old do you think I am? That's your secret phrase. How old do you think I am? Michael, what was that secret phrase?
How old do you think I am? So... but Lamb Chop used to do a lot of USO tours.
Yes.
And not a lot of people.
I remember that from my childhood.
Yes. you laugh. I'm looking at here. 1992, there was a PBS children's show. 92.
Yeah. No, I know.
It
made
you about 10 years old, right?
Yeah. There was also a Howdy Doody. No. I wish.
Oh, yeah. Lamb Chop and Howdy Doody is going to be the one that's like, oh, no, I'm definitely younger then.
Hey, if you ask me the number of freckles that Howdy Doody has, I could tell you, because I know.
One for each state.
Yeah, 48.
Yeah.
So, during one of these USO tours, Lamb Chop was actually given a field promotion.
Ooh.
By the deputy commander of the Pacific for the Marines.
Colonel Lamb Chop.
My question is that, what is the rank in the Marines of Lamb Chop?
Lamb Chop.
All right. So what are military ranks? I know this is ridiculous, but are all military
general,
ranks
lieutenant,
the same?
They are different across the different branches. So Marines would be different than the Navy, for example.
I'm going to go with Lieutenant Colonel Lamb Chop.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Sergeant Lamb Chop.
Oh, that's okay. A good guess.
Sergeant, I feel good Lamb about Chop. Sergeant.
Okay. Is that your guesses then?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, I don't think that he's going to be like a general, you know, or
well,
I don't think
Marines.
He's going to get super far.
Is it a general of the Marines or an admiral of the Marines?
Admiral is Navy. I believe it's still.
Is it just Navy?
No, it's general. It's general on the Marines.
I got the Marines. We'll make sure to post a link to the ranks from the Marines.
Okay.
It's lieutenant, what, major, colonel? Yeah, general. Feel good about that.
Uh-huh.
Lamb Chop is a 3-star general.
That's ridiculous.
Three-star general, lieutenant general in the Marines.
Did the president give her that rank?
It was a field promotion from Lieutenant General Tom Connett, who was the deputy commander of the Pacific for the United States Marines.
So I guess that's a higher ranking person. Lieutenant General will be, what, 4 stars or 5 stars?
Lieutenant General is the same as 3 stars.
Hmm.
So the different stars going up for the Marines, 1 star is Brigadier General, 2 is Major General, being the very moderate of a modern Major General. Modern
General, yeah.
Three is Lieutenant General, and 4 is General.
Okay. That's just General General.
General General.
Yeah.
I Googled Lamb Chop because I've heard of this puppet, but I couldn't, picture it.
Sherry Lewis, right?
Yeah, Sherry Lewis. And this article is saying that she did ventriloquism as a young age, and she rose to fame because she was on a television show for like talent scouts or something. And, you know, that's how she got her big break, I guess, in puppetry. But she invented this character of Lamb Chop like super early on in the 50s, and then was doing her PBS show until like 1997. So she's had like, what percentage of her life was her hand stuck up a lamb's butt?
Most of it.
Yeah.
So the character debuted on Captain Kangaroo in 1957, and Lewis actually died in 1998.
Yeah.
But is I believe still performing with Sherry's daughter.
Cool. Okay. I mean, like,
so Mallory Lewis is now exactly.
So let this be the lesson that you got to, do something that you love, because you never know when you're going to have to do it for 40 years. Right? Like, I think that's really the moral of this story.
I think the moral of the story is, and this actually continues to this day, don't make fun of ventriloquists for their hobbies.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, make that money.
Yeah.
Get that lamb chop.
What was it? The Terry Fader was the person who won the second season of America's Got Talent. Yeah. Didn't he sign? He signed like $100 million Vegas contract.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was like a 5-year, $100 million contract. That was his first contract, and he's on like his second or third one. So he may have made $250 million with his hand up a lamb puppet.
Hey, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying you gotta really, truly love it, you know? Honestly, if you're gonna stick your hand anywhere into a dark place, you gotta make sure you love it. And on that note, we are going to wrap this episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And we don't know either.
Bye.